In this episode of the Future Car Podcast, Nan Kochar, VP of Automotive and Transportation Industries, and I, Connor Pike, Thought Leadership Team Writer, continue a series of conversations on autonomous vehicles and how they will shape the future of mobility. As the automotive industry moves into the future, automotive companies are faced with the challenge of designing increasingly complex vehicles to satisfy consumer demands for greater automation, convenience, and connectivity. Among the most important technologies to the success of AVs will be the vast network of sensors, processing devices, and electromechanical actuators that enable the vehicle to perceive, plan, and act. These are often referred to collectively as advanced driver assistance systems, or ADAS. While these systems, including cameras, LiDAR, radar, and machine learning technologies, are becoming increasingly sophisticated, they still struggle to cope with certain situations such as extreme weather conditions, construction zones, unexpected obstacles, and unpredictable human behavior. So the question is, how can you deliver trustworthy and compliant ADAS and AV systems that function effectively in the widest possible range of conditions? Today, we bring you part two of our discussion on this topic with Gwen Van Voet, Senior Director of Autonomy at Siemens Digital Industry Software. I hope you enjoy.
So let me, Gwen, start with, even with these improvements in simulation technologies we are seeing, there's still an important role of real-world testing to play, right? So how do we combine this real-world and virtual testing data, and what benefits can this provide to the overall process of testing and verifying an ADAS and AV system? You touched on some of it during your previous dialogue. But that's, again, one of the key differentiators. If you could expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So real-world testing is and will stay a very important part of the entire testing. I mean, the real world is extremely stochastic. And even though you try to create as much as possible critical scenarios through all the process that we just mentioned. The real world is always a little bit more tricky and more complex than what you can simulate even and also what you can think of. So in that sense, real world testing is always important from that aspect. I think there's another reason why real world testing is important is also to prove towards the general public that what you have developed is actually working in the real world. So, I mean, people tend to, I mean, they want to see it in the real world, right? I mean, you can show as much as possible simulations, but that does not compel as good as just showing that you have driven many miles without any problems. So I think that is all stays a big part of the validation process. And don't forget that in that entire chain, there's also the test track testing, because it is also a simplification of the real world. So you take out as much as possible, parameters of the real world in the test track. But what you typically do is you test and validate also your simulation on a real world on a test track. So the test track is a very important part to make that link between your simulation models and your actual real world testing activities. And therefore, it's not a matter of or, it's a matter of and. So yes, you will collect data on the real streets, you will collect data from your simulations, you will collect data from your test track, and that all combined together will show you the coverage of your requirements. So you in the end you want to prove systematically that all the requirements that you set in the beginning of your product development, that in the end you can meet all those requirements. And whether you prove that with real world testing, synthetic data, or proving ground testing, in the end you need to be able to cover all the requirements in there. And that is also part of our tool chain to feed back all the end results, to feed them back and connect them to the requirements.
So Gwen, what is required to tie these processes together into a continuous closed loop? And do you see this accelerating the verification and validation of AV systems in the future, which is the end goal for our customers?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So as ADAS and AV systems are, I think, a very, very good example of data-driven product development. There's a lot of data being used in the development of ADAS and AV systems. There's definitely the concept of the closed loop. So typically, you start with developing your vehicle. You do your test and validation. As we just explained, there's real world data being used. At some point, you send your vehicles to the street. And then what you see more and more is that these vehicles that go into the street become data generators as well. That can be IoT data, but it can also be very, very high bandwidth sensor data to collect a lot of data for specific critical scenarios that you encountered in the real world. So what is important to close that loop is that the data that you collect from your production vehicles, you have to do that in a smart way, because of course, even with future technologies, you cannot continuously have these vehicles stream all their data. So there needs to be intelligence in the car to actually figure out whether the situation that the car is in today is, if that is a critical or a novel situation that has actually not been taken into account in the design process. And that in itself, again, with the novelty indicator, you could imagine that there's also technology in the car that continuously verifies, hey, am I actually now in a situation that is part of my validation activities, and therefore I'm in control, and I'm in the area in the operation design domain that's operating within the operational design domain, or am I seeing activities that that I have not taken into account before, and that could be a trigger to say, hey, let's capture the sensor data of this vehicle and package it and actually send it out to the back office to take that into account and add that to the scenario database for future developments. And now we are all now known to the concept of over the air updates. So every vehicle that's getting onto the street today is set up with over the air update capability. So this feedback loop from data from the real world, feeding that back into your design process and your validation process. Yeah, that's a topic that that every car manufacturer today is working on.
Excellent. That's a very good point. So instead of running prototype vehicles with the special drivers, the production vehicles are equipped with all these technologies of camera, radar, sensors to collect the data. So you're leveraging, if they're connected for over-the-air transfer of data, you continuously collect new scenario, which you maybe probably can't imagine otherwise, and feeding those back into your database. So I'm sure, Gwen, there's a lot of machine learning and AI technologies because you're dealing with tremendous amount of information, and parsing which one information is beneficial to update in your database, scenario database, is going to be a key challenge, and these technologies might be helping in that arena. So that's very important. So that's how, Connor, in the opening we talked about how do we progress on ADAS AV development. It's a continuous improvement from these scenario modelings and from delivering functionality, feeding towards safety and security of vehicle operations. So that's a very important point.
Well, I mean, as we have seemingly come full circle, then I think it's a good time to wrap up our discussion for today. I mean, thank you guys so much for your thoughts. I think we've got a really good handle on the topic. But I want to give you guys a little bit of space to share any final thoughts with the listeners.
Yeah. Thanks, Connor, for giving the opportunity. I think what is really interesting, maybe to share, is if I observe the trajectory of this industry. So I was talking about that the last 15 years and where we're going. I'm actually a bit reminded of the common path that emerging technologies often tread. So we today. We have clearly navigated beyond the hype phase, right? I mean, I think the last time that I was in the podcast, we were on the top of that hype curve and everybody was really mind-blowing about autonomous vehicles. I mean, we are past that. And it is very natural, actually, to witness companies evolving, actually some facing some challenges. So we have also seen some strategic movements into this space, companies stopping, companies going bankrupt, also companies taking different paths, while others, as I said, explore alternative avenues. It's interesting because these shifts are intrinsic, I think, to the maturity of any industry. We are unmistakably converging towards a maturing industry landscape. I mean, you can see that because processes are harmonizing, different standards are getting aligned. I mean, I think one of the best examples is the UNECE that is picking up more and more of the ADAS technologies into their standards. Regulatory frameworks are taking shape. And that all together with the industrial continuous quality cycles that we just discussed, this closed loop activity of continuously taking data in and making your products better. I think that all shows that we are moving towards a mature market. And in the near future, I think this convergence will lead to the seamless expansion of ADAS across all vehicle types and geographies. Coupled also with the growth of higher levels of automation. And I think that holds a very interesting promise for society. And like preceding technological revolutions such as the advent of the internet, I think these advancements have the potential to reshape the way we live in beyond our current imagination. I really think that if this, that we are moving towards this industry becoming mature, and we will, I mean, this technology will be spread out intensively over the next decade, and I think we cannot even think of how that will change our lives and how it will change, for example, city planning and all these type of things. It will have a major impact in the way how we move and how mobility is set up, and even I think how cities are reshaped into the future. And to be honest with you, I think that is it's great to be part of that type of industry and to work day and night on helping the automotive industry shape our future world, basically.
Yeah. So from my perspective, Connor and Gwen, thanks a lot. Very good discussion. I'll summarize this, that you heard about all the challenges and the progress we've been making. One important aspect is partnerships. So all these things we can't do, any one company cannot do on their own. It's very important aspect. For example, in our case, we will have partnerships with technology partners within the ADAS AV development phases, as well as there's a heavy compute involved in this. So we'll partner with any of the computing vendors like AWS or other service providers. So it is important point that these challenges are real. We are enabling development as well as verification, validation of delivering autonomy and ADAS, and then we partner with, for our customers, the partners of their choice to help them deliver this. So I just wanted to touch on that aspect as well. Once again, thank you.
Thanks again to Nand and Gwen for offering their knowledge and experience today and helping us all learn about AVs and ADAS systems here on the Future Car Podcast. Also, a big thanks to our listeners. We really appreciate everyone that tunes in to hear about all the exciting things that are happening in the mobility world. We'll be back very soon on this feed with a new guest and a fascinating topic exploring an aspect of the future of mobility. We hope that you'll join us again then.